What is real? A few weeks ago, I went to see my son after 8 years. It was a moving experience and love. The trip included traveling outside the US and back. And as a returning passengers, we were required, along with other US citizens, to line up at the US immigration office. While we were all lined up, I noticed several quotations posted on the wall. They are really projected to the wall. Kind of strange to see them. One quotation caught my attention. It says, "Nothing ever becomes real till it is experienced," by John Keats. Perhaps that quotation was meant to show how easy it is to enter the United States if you hold a valid U.S. passport. You will experience the benefits as a citizen. Of course, all U.S. passport holders were required to pass through and stand in front of a camera for a moment, for a brief moment. And after less than 3 or 4 seconds, a small green light appeared just below the camera lens. And after the green light turns on, you were advised to pass through the gate. No passport inspection, no questioning. And no one else was there except the person who asked you to stand in front of the camera. You have to experience how efficient the system of checking everyone. Unless, of course, you have a questionable background stored in some database. Nothing ever becomes real till it is experienced. Whatever it's meant for, that quotation caught my attention, and I immediately typed them into my phone so I wouldn't forget. And later on, I look up, of course, to Gemini AI about who John Keats is. Now, John Keats was an English poet born in 1795 to 1821. A short-lived person who died very young at the age of 25. Keats wrote that quotation during a period of immense personal trial. By 1819, he had already lost his mother and brother to tuberculosis, and he was beginning to feel the early symptoms of getting that sickness too. He was grappling with the idea that intellectual knowledge is hollow without emotional or physical weight. To John Keats, you can read thousands of poems about heartbreak, but until your heart breaks, words are just an ink on a page. So it is the purpose of this second split sermon today to speak on how things seem to become real through what we experience. Of all the personalities in the Bible, the account of Peter's denial of Jesus and his typical impulsive personality, quick to speak now and consider what we said later, is really a behavior that is so common today. And if we find ourselves in Peter's shoes, how can we recover from the errors we put ourselves into? So to begin with, let us look at what Peter said and did, which shows us that saying and doing may differ depending on how we position ourselves in a given situation. Nothing ever becomes real till it is experienced. As Jesus was about to walk towards Mount Olives after Passover, they sang a hymn, which, like what we did when we ended the Passover evening with a hymn 3 days ago. So please turn with me to Matthew 26, verse 30, for our first scripture. Matthew 26, verse 30. It says in verse 30, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them," in verse 31, "all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Verse 32. Sensing that some terrible thing would happen to Jesus, Peter vehemently said to Jesus in the following verse. Verse 33. Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Going on to Luke 22 to continue, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. "And the Lord said to Jesus," in verse 31 of Luke 22, "Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." Verse 31 is a very important passage in which Jesus spoke to Peter. And we have to note that when a name is mentioned twice, it means the person being addressed has a very important matter that requires their full or utmost attention. When Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac in Genesis 22, verse 11, God called him twice, "Abraham, Abraham," prompting him to stop what he was asked to do and not kill Isaac. So also in Exodus 3, verse 4, when Moses was in front of the burning bush, God addressed him twice as "Moses, Moses." And we know that Moses played an important role in bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. So also, when Jesus addressed Peter as "Simon, Simon," he should have noticed and heeded an important statement Jesus was about to make, yet he seems to have ignored it. And reading again in verse 31 of Luke 22, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." Now, what does the sifting a person as wheat means? In the agricultural process, wheat is much like rice in how a typical farmer cleans the grain manually. First, the stalk were crushed to loosen the grain from the chaff, like heating it in the, like much like heating a bunch of grain in the to a hard rock or wood. And after the grain is removed from the husk, it is tossed to the air so the wind can blow the light shaft away. And the remaining grains that fall to the ground and some heavy debris, much like stones and dirt with the grain, were placed in a large sieve and shaken vigorously. The goal was to separate the pure wheat or rice from impurities through a rigorous process. Jesus uses this kind of imagery to describe Peter, that he would undergo a period of intense trial and agitation and see whether he would fail or crumble under pressure. But Jesus said in Luke 22:32, But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, Jesus said, strengthen your brethren. It seems Peter was oblivious to what Jesus was telling him, and Jesus was communicating with Peter on a higher level while he was just thinking about how bad things may happen to Jesus on a level, on a different level. Verse 33 said, but he said to him, Lord, Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Verse 34 said, then he said, I tell you, Peter, Jesus said, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. We all know what happened. Having already denied Jesus the second time, notice what happened on Peter's third denial. Please turn with me to Luke 22, verse 59. My throat is dry again. In verse 59, then after an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And notice verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Imagine what the situation was like at that time. Peter, right after denying Jesus the third time, the rooster crowed. Exactly what Jesus said would happen. Imagine that while being scourged or whipped, Jesus took the time to look out the window, saw Peter, and gave him a look that perhaps Peter will never forget. Verse 61 says, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Little is said about what happened to Peter afterwards. It simply said in verse 62, when we can only surmise what happened, so Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter must have remembered what Jesus had just told him, that he would be sifted as wheat and would deny Jesus three times, which became all the more real after he had experienced it. How could Jesus have known in advance that he would deny him three times till the cock crow? Peter must have remembered what Jesus said, and as in verse 62 says, Peter went out and wept bitterly. He must have felt ashamed of what he just had said. Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And his action proved him lacking. Where now is loyalty? What happened to what he said? Even if all were made to stumble because of you, I will never be made stumble. Brethren, your loyalty becomes real only when the test of loyalty is experienced, if they are true. Denying Jesus surely bothered his conscience, Peter's conscience, feeling guilty, cowardly, and ashamed of what he had said and done must have been intense to Peter. Perhaps the only remaining hope and comfort he felt was just Jesus said to him in Luke, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. That was the only thing that kept Peter intact. feeling sorry for what Peter had done must have felt so real to him. Perhaps for the first time, he experienced what it means to repent. It must have changed him, making him a strong leader in the pillar of the church. Nothing ever becomes real till it is experienced. Time always has a way of telling us something real. And most of them through what we experience. We all have sinned and must have felt sorry and repented for the sins we have committed. That's why we are still here in the church, observing the Sabbath. That's why we still keep the Passover and Days of the Unleavened Bread. It reminds us how real God's love for us is through the suffering He Himself has experienced. Our taking of the bread and wine that pictures Jesus living in us should be manifested in the way we live as Christians. The washing of our brother's feet allows us to experience how much we esteem our brother better than ourselves, isn't it? Peter's sudden change of behavior from being cocky and audacious to a sudden shift to shame and sorrow tells us three lessons. Number one lesson we can learn from this account: talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. It is so easy to say something, especially about us, but proving it is entirely a different story. As an old English proverb says, once the word comes out of our mouth, even if we ride the swiftest horse, cannot take it back. It is hard to take back what we already said. Peter placed himself in a situation where he claimed he would not allow bad things to happen to Jesus. And after he saw him beaten, he must have realized that the same could happen to him. Peter's denial of Jesus tells us that he got scared. He learned his lesson the hard way. What we are inside will show on the outside eventually. This is the principle Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 2. Please turn with me to Luke 12. Verse 2. Jesus said in verse 2 of Luke 12, "For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have spoken in the ear, in the inner room, will be proclaimed on the housetops." Who is really inside will eventually show outside. What is real will show in what we experience. The second lesson we can learn from this account of Peter. Number two, do not delay in asking for forgiveness. Do not delay in asking for forgiveness. After denying Jesus the third time, the cock crowed, Peter realized immediately what a mess he had placed himself into. He must have realized that he was not the courageous person he had just claimed he was. Reality set in, as verse 62 of Luke 22 says, he went out and wept bitterly. This is a trait all of us have to follow and emulate. That realizing what he had done, Peter did not delay in asking for forgiveness. While the guilt is still there, we too should not delay in seeking God's mercy and forgiveness when we commit sin while we still have time. The prophet Isaiah tells us to take advantage of the window of opportunity that opens when we realize we have sinned. Please turn with me to Isaiah 56 verse 6. It tells us about this scripture. Isaiah 55 verse 6. It says in verse 6, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." The prophet Isaiah tells us how important it is for us to seek God while there is time. Why? Why is it important not to delay in asking for forgiveness from God when we realize that there are sin inside us? The parable of the sower and the seed, whose seed fell on the wayside, tells us why. Please turn with me to Luke 8 verse 12. Luke 8 verse 12 on this principle. It says, "Those by the wayside," Jesus himself say this, "those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Satan can capitalize on the situation and may lead us to think that believing and doing what leads to our salvation is not really important or necessary. The third lesson we can learn from Peter's denial and return to Jesus is, remember where we were. Remember where we were. In the 3.5 years Peter was with Jesus, it must have burned in his head the many miracles Jesus had performed. He must have remembered and witnessed the miracle of feeding the thousands of people with few loaves and fish. He must have remembered how Jesus calmed the stormy seas. He must have even remembered how he had walked on the water for just a brief time, period of time. Full of guilt and sorrow, Peter must have remembered what Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees in Luke 13 verse 5, which Jesus said, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Peter must have remembered what he had heard, that the only way to return to Jesus and regain his peace was to repent. And repent he did. And he came back to Jesus to be at peace with God. We too have many things to remember. Do we still remember how we were delivered from troubles, problems, from sickness, and from pain? Brethren, each one of us has our own story to tell. Those were our experiences, and we gladly attribute them, believing God is real to us. The account of Peter's failing and coming back to Jesus tells us that no matter how grave the sins we have committed, we can still come back to God. It takes an honest examination of the self to truly feel sorry and want to amend the wrongs we have done before God. Sadly, some people who left the faith and those who turned their back on God, as the lyrics of the song, "The Way We Were," says it very clearly, what's too painful to remember. We simply choose to forget. Some have chosen to forget how God's hand was with them in their lives and chose to live as if they had not known God. For us who are still here, the lesson Peter's denial and returning to God shows us, talk is cheap. We should not delay in asking for forgiveness while we still have time. Always remember that there was a time when we were close to God. Partaking in and observing the Passover and days of the unleavened bread allows us to tell God that He is real to us in a very special way. Perhaps in the kingdom, Peter will tell us what he underwent, the difficulty he experienced in returning to God will be made clear to us. For Peter, in the final analysis, what was clear and real to him was only one thing, to be at peace with God and Jesus. It is not surprising, brethren, that the very first sermon Peter gave on the day of Pentecost was about repentance, because he lived it. Nothing seems real till they are experienced. It's a litmus test that will show our true selves. Peter's denial and his subsequent return to Jesus tells us one thing, not to let a negative action be an end of itself. Peter, who came back and was accepted by God, tells us who God is and what kind of God we all worship today. Please turn with me to Psalm 103 verse 9 to see who this God we worship is. Psalm 103 verse 9. He, talking to God, He, God, will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are higher above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. God, through Jesus, gave us a real life example and lesson about life itself. Nothing seems real till they are experienced. Have a Sabbath and blessed days of the unleavened bread.